Hey, does your marketing effort include asking questions? Well, I sure hope it does, because when you ask questions, you provide a better service and product to your patients and members. We thought we'd take this one step further. In our updated software, Trust Driven Care, which you can check out at trustdrivencare.com, we added in a whole survey module. Now, why did we add this in? Well, over the last 5 years, surveys have become wildly popular as a great way to get information from prospective clients and even current clients. You can ask surveys about how are we doing? What exercises do you like the most? You can even send a survey a year after somebody got discharged to ask them what they remember about your office. Those things can help refine and build your marketing efforts. They can also help refine and build your customer service efforts. But we thought they were so important, we added an entire module of surveys to our software. Based on the questions, automation can happen. Based on the answers they give, you can send them access to a course, or you could send that person into a different website, or you could automatically register a task for somebody to reach out to them and call them. Let's say if they weren't satisfied or their back still hurts, give them a call. But surveys are so powerful, and that's one of the new features that we added to Trust Driven Care. Check it out at trustdrivencare.com. Hey, welcome to Clinic Gym Radio. This is Dr. Josh Satterlee, and I'm excited for you to be on this journey. Look, when I started my Clinic Gym Hybrid back in 2013, I didn't have a place to go for resources. That's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we're here. I hope you dig this interview. Let's jump in. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Clinic Gym Radio. I'm your host, as always, Dr. Josh Satterlee. And I am coming to you live from an undisclosed hotel room at an undisclosed chiropractic event. I thought I'd record this episode because I am at a completely subluxation-based, super straight chiro convention because I didn't realize who I was speaking for. So I'm speaking for a few hours this week and all about patient communication. And when I was asked to do it, I assumed it was just a general, you know, normal state association kind of deal. And as I'm rolling up, it says like, hey, we're here to preserve the ability to practice straight chiropractic, which I don't necessarily, you know, think is a downside. It's just, I haven't been in a room like this in a long time. I am kind of interested how it's going, but I did want to share some observations that I think are some goods and some bads that I thought are worthy of discussion. So let me get comfortable here because this room is kind of funky. All right, so pause real quick. I gotta shut the curtains so the sound isn't bouncing off the windows. All right, so details. So I'm speaking for this group, and speaking to this group tomorrow, and today I kind of, you know, check in and walk through the little bit of, you know, they have like a little, what do you call it, little check-in station where you register and whatnot, and across from that, so I get all checked in and sign up and get my tickets and everything, and then, yeah, I thought what was interesting was I then went, they have a little area where they have all their vendors, right? And this is on the bad side of things. I thought it was the most ironic thing I've ever seen, and I thought it was important to talk about on Clinic Gym Radio here because most of the people listening to this are into the rehab, exercise, gym kind of thing, but that's not everybody. And I was struck today by that because what happened was I check in for the event, then I go to see the vendors, and I just want to kind of shake and howdy a little bit. I want to say thank you to them. Like anybody that is supporting chiropractic with dollars, I'm always like, hey, I'm down for the cause, whatever. And so all of these vendors struck me that they were all talking about these different services you could add to a straight chiropractic office. And they were talking about things like spinal health and screenings and blah, blah. And, oh, yeah, you can add this and get people to do it at home. All of that, super cool. But what I thought was so interesting is they are all talking about adding these things on in a way that, and they were all working towards this idea of, yeah, your patients will love it and you'll have a community of patients who use this. And like three of these little vendors use the word community. And I was like, what? How are you going to have a community of people that are at home using some, you know, PEMF device or some laser or whatever, that's done like in the privacy of your own home. And like you do it by yourself. There's no community with that, but they're trying to sell it that way. But this did strike me as something I've talked about a few times, but something that I think Kurt Kippenberger was awesome at talking about, which is kind of the community aspect of fitness and using that as a way to keep members. Kurt really focused on it and I think does a great job, but he did have some interesting insights. For example, I know that there is like this nerdy argument oftentimes about foam rollers, like whatever. Do they stretch muscle or lengthen ligaments or tendons and stuff? And I think that, you know, ship has sailed. They don't do that. But however, what Kurt brought up is, yeah, we don't know their physiological effects, right? And I'll get to my current thinking on that maybe if I remember, but we don't know their physiological effects, but their psychological effects. When you have everybody starting class sitting on a foam roller, it does not matter who your dad is, how much money you made last year, what you pay in taxes, what religion you are, what color your skin is. You're cranking on that foam roller and moaning and groaning and rolling around the same as everybody else, right? And it's a great equalizer. But Kurt also says it's also, what did he say? He calls it the coffee shop syndrome or the coffee shop approach, which means everybody's sitting there. They're kind of talking about things that are happening in their life. Hey, we had a new grandkid, or hey, I got a new job, or I'm traveling to Paris next week. All these things that really build that community. And people are sharing about themselves, celebrating others. Hey, it's somebody's birthday. All those things happen. And I have never seen a place within a gym better than six or eight people sitting on foam rollers doing that to start the class. That is where community is built the most and where, I think that's the best place to build community. Now, you can also have events and whatnot, but events take a lot of time, and this is something you can do every workout. You can also play games and do warm-ups and stuff. I think warm-up games are fantastic. I think it's an unsung possibility, or it's underdeveloped aspect of the clinic gym is the fun warm-up games. We cover these in the live or clinic gym live events because people just have never experienced it, but getting people to be goofy and silly and do dumb stuff and moan and groan on foam rollers is a great way to build community. And when you look at the best gyms in the world, the micro gyms that really succeed, so the CrossFits of the world, the small garage gyms and all that, the thing that they are surviving on is a combination of expertise and community. Those are really the most important things, right? Those are certainly the things that keep people coming back. So it's so important to foster those things, and I would say foster it at every workout. And then maybe quarterly or twice a year, do some sort of community event. Again, maybe I'll talk about that in the future on this episode. I have some ideas around that too. Yeah, let me go back to the foam roller thing, by the way. My current thinking on foam rollers, and take it or leave it, two things that I think, so there is, anybody that's assigned foam rollers to, especially that over 45 crowd, will tell you that they produce amazing results. Physiological, we might not know why, but here's my current thinking. They do, what are the sensory organs in the body? The sensory organs are the Golgi tendons and the, mechanoreceptors and the Ruffinian and Pacinian corpuscles and Golgi tendons and what's the other one? Muscle spindles and all these things, right? How do all of those things get stimulated? It's either pressure or tension, right? And rolling around on a foam roller creates a ton of pressure at various locations, a lot of which you haven't created pressure in a long time on. Like think about your adductors. I always get people to roll their adductors, their thigh, inner thighs. They haven't had pressure there in a long time, right? Anterior tib. They haven't had pressure there in a long time. I think it stimulates the brain that, hey, those fibers were dormant before, or they haven't been stimulated in a long time. Hey, we just stimulated them. I think you could probably get the same effect there just doing like, I remember hearing Steve Capobianco from Rock Tape talking about using like a comb effect on a device and how that would work. That's kind of what changed me into this thought process. But I think you're just stimulating all the different sensory organs that have gone dormant over time. It's just waking it up, right? Which is fine. I don't care how it works, but it freaking works. The other thing too is I think that foam rolling is like a good early introductory DNS session for people. If you think about it, they're, you know, when you're rolling your IT band, essentially you're like doing a side plank, a short lever side plank, and kind of putting some compression through the shoulder, and then you're rolling around, then you're, you know, hip. You're doing planks. You're doing all sorts of weight bearing through your shoulder. You're doing all sort of like ground-based activities. The foam roller is what we're focused on, but really you're doing short lever, long lever, various rolling, you know, you're doing all sorts of adaptation. And I think that also kind of stimulates things. So stimulate the motor control system and then start out with some early trunk stabilization and forgiving positions, and bada bing, bada boom, you got magic, right? Anyways, where was I? Community. All right. So downstairs at this conference, they're all talking about building community. And I'm just like, man, you guys are lost. Nobody's going to build a community around like laser treatments or whatever. But it really made me think, hey, we got a really big thing going with the clinic gym system because it inherently produces community. Inherently. Like, another way to say it, it'd be really hard to run a gym for a year and not end up with a tight-knit community. One of my mentors said, if you want people to be bonded together, just share bodily fluids. He said, there's three options. You can sweat together, you can bleed together, or you can swap fluids. No matter what happens, you're more bonded after that than you are before it. So hope that's not too crude for people, but it is true. Getting people to sweat together has an amazing way of connecting them. People from all different walks of life and backgrounds and whatnot. Again, I'll go back. We had a 70-year-old retired social worker for the county working out at one point with a guy who actively was on off season for his, he was an MLB baseball player and actively in the MLB. And those two together was one of the funniest workouts I've ever seen. I mean, they were talking smack to each other left and right. The old lady would, no matter what, the baseball player did, the old lady would be like, man, I thought a professional athlete would lift a whole lot more than that. Oh, I thought a professional athlete could do way more reps than that. She just would not let him have any relaxation. It was just a fantastic off season for him. And his one of his workout buddies was this old lady. Like, it's just ridiculous, but it works. Anyways, sweat is the great equalizer, man. Obviously, you don't want to be producing a whole lot of blood sharing on the gym floor. But getting people to sweat together, teach each other, critique each other, give each other tips is an amazing way to get a lot of community built. That leads me to community events. A couple ideas I want to share with you about events. These can be used for your clinic, but especially your gym. I think it's important to think about what are the things we all value that can be unique to you, because that uniqueness is often what produces that community. So a couple things that might be worthwhile. One of the most popular things we did every year in our clinic gym was the Thanksgiving to Christmas rowing challenge. So I got this idea. I was looking on the Concept 2 website one time, and they talk about this 100K challenge. And so Concept 2, who's the company that makes most of the rowers out there, they have a deal where if you row 100,000 meters between Thanksgiving and Christmas, then they'll make a donation in your name to some charity. Now, that was just the inspiration. That wasn't what we actually did. But what we ended up doing was having a 100,000 meter rowing challenge for our members. And so you had to register the week before Thanksgiving or whatever throughout November. And then it started on Black Friday. And starting Black Friday, the gym was always open at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., 7 days a week. Didn't matter. Like, normally we were closed on Sundays, but on those Sundays, we had a trainer come in at 6 a.m., 6 p.m. So you could chip away at your 100,000 meters. Now, you might be thinking that's a lot, but there's 30 days typically between Thanksgiving and Christmas. If you need to do 100,000 meters, that means every day you just need to do 3,300 meters, which would take you about 20 minutes. Super easy. What makes it challenging is the fact that it's the Christmas season. You get invited to a party. You wake up hungover. You know, hanging out with your family. You're traveling. You do all this stuff. So that's where the challenge arose. And we had people coming in trying to bust out 8,000-10,000 meters in a day. One person did 12,000 in a day to make up for some missed days. But I will say this, the people that just chipped away every day really, really loved it. It was a great community builder and everybody enjoyed it. To make it even more special, what we had was a big banner and we strung it up in the gym and it was divided. It had like all the names were on the left side and then it had a little boat. Each person was assigned a boat with your name on it and the boat could move across the banner. And we had, I think, 2,000 meter increments, right? So we had 50 little divisions as you would move to the right. So people would come in, do their rowing, and then they'd move their boat across. And we had, they were like, the boats were these little square, like a badge almost, that looked like it had a boat on it. And they were laminated. You could write on them with a whiteboard marker, like how far you were. So, hey, I'm at 15,580, whatever. So you moved them across. People had great times in that. And then you would see them taking pictures of the banner, sending it to their buddy, like, oh, yeah, look, I'm 5 grand ahead of you, blah, blah, blah. And then miraculously at 6 p.m., their buddy would show up and start rowing. So that was a huge community builder. Couple tips on that. 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day for the 30 days. Work with your trainers to get them booked and work a little bit. It's not hard. Everybody does a couple extra shifts and it's fine. But the members, I will tell you that Sunday morning, Saturday night, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning and Sunday night did have quite a few members there that made it worth it. On Sundays, what we did is we had a flat screen TV. We'd play a Christmas movie and blast it through the speakers in the gym because there was no other workout or no going on and no other patients in the gym. So we'd blast, you know, Christmas Story or The Grinch or whatever. And people just loved it as they're rowing. Now, if you have 6 or 8 people rowing, you got to play that movie pretty damn loud, but that's really good. So anyways, that was a really popular event and I'd highly recommend it to you. We agreed that, hey, the gym will be open 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. for 90 minutes. You got to be done by 7:30, right? And that way people could show up a few minutes late, but could get at least 40 minutes of rowing. Most people top out around 40 minutes, 45 minutes, or your hands hurt too much. But we had people doing like 250,000 meters in that timeline. So super cool. And then I can't remember, did we give a prize for the first person done? Or I don't remember the strata there, but super popular. Second one that, I mean, we did a lot of barbecues and taco nights. I think those are always good, standard kind of thing. The other community event that I think goes unnoticed, but will make you really popular. As people are working out, they kind of like to get dressed up. And I will say that women more than men love to get dressed up. So this one is a, takes a little bit of planning, a little bit of investment, but I think is a super cool one. We called it the Fitness Formal. Got the idea because, you know, you see these pictures of kids going to prom or homecoming, they like getting all dressed up and the parents are all digging it. And I think, oh man, except for weddings, really, we don't ever get dressed up and like dance. So why not have that for your members? So in the spring, we would do the Fitness Formal. We'd send out really nice invitations, like printout invitations that got sent in the mail to our members about 5 or 6 weeks in advance because you want to have plenty of time for women to buy the dress they want, plan out their getting their hair and makeup done and everything, nails, all that. And then we sent that out, talked about it on social media, sent out emails, blah, blah, blah. And then set up the gym to be just a really awesome fitness formal. I'll tell you this. It was kind of inspired by the end of that great American film, 13 Going on 30, where they have the whatever prom or something, fashion prom. But it works. And so a couple things happen. Number one, make it a world-class event, meaning like what we had was a red carpet when you walked in. You walked in on the red carpet. And then, you know, you have a step and repeat. So one of those like background banners where it has like the logo and then who it's sponsored by, like what you see behind people at a press conference kind of thing. But step and repeat, have a photographer there to take pictures of people and send it to them. Hugely popular. We didn't really serve dinner, but we had some snacks just to keep people feeling, you know, somewhat healthy. So just like snacks from Costco. So think like, what do you call it? Like Swedish meatballs, little chicken skewers, some veggie trays, little nuts sitting out there. Most people are just nibbling. And then we did have a bar set up and we hired a bartender or two to make drinks. And we decorated the place. Basically, we wrapped our rig, our pull-up rig, in Christmas lights. And that was enough to kind of set the mood. And then we had we rented us a few folding chairs and put them in little groups so people could sit around. Had a DJ spinning tunes. You know, people were dancing. And I'll tell you right now that some of the people came dressed to the nines, man. There was one woman, as soon as she heard we were doing a fitness formal, her training got serious. She worked out hard for 6 weeks. She appeared to not eat any carbs whatsoever. And she came in that night looking stunning, stunning. And I saw her walk in and just like her energy, I was like, this is why we're doing it right here. This woman is incredibly proud, looks incredible, and is like the perfect picture of why we do this, right? That kind of adult level fitness where you're not a bodybuilder, but how good can you look for yourself? She looked incredible. Thus, there were quite a few other women who looked amazing and really put effort in and really appreciated it. And it was cool to see the members having an outlet for all the excitement and also build that community more. You know, like you're seeing people dressed up, you're seeing people, you're dancing with people, and it's just, it's just building a better relationship with all those people. And it's great stories to talk about. And you put it on for one night. Really, it wasn't that much setup effort. Getting a DJ, having the food, and the bar was coordination, but it actually wasn't hard. We weren't moving any equipment in or out. I mean, we kind of cleared out everything and, you know, mopped up, but you weren't moving in a whole bunch of round tables to do a big fancy dinner or something like that. So that was awesome. The fitness formal, highly recommend that. The other thing we did that I was pretty proud of that and give you this tip. We used we had a rogue rig, and we used some of the bars that you can kind of clip in and out. A buddy of mine was very handy, and so he built a bar that literally attached to the rig. You could move the pins up or down to have a higher or lower bar. But like serving drinks right there inside the rig was kind of funny because it was like protected in some way, and we made a little station. But everybody, when they came in, I don't remember if we charged. I think we charged $10, and that was just to make sure people are actually going to RSVP because we wanted to make sure. It wasn't really a moneymaker, but you got to charge something to get people to actually commit to an RSVP. So I think it was 10 or 20 bucks. I think it was 20 bucks and we donated $10 from each one to some charity we were working with. Anyways, with that, each person got 2 drink tickets and then they could purchase everything else cash, beer, wine, and some simple drinks. It was freaking fantastic. Great pictures, great stories, great night. Just absolutely fantastic time and a totally different than any other gym in your area is going to do, right? And very appreciated. Barbecues, I think people generally appreciate, but I would say guys appreciate that more than women. Making sure women are your number one customer. If women stick around, if you work to keep women around, that is going to reward you more than anything else. So highly recommend that you focus on them. And they love getting dressed up. They love doing all that. So you can do that. Also seen some gyms do like a Mother's Day workout. Again, serving those women because women are your main customer. 60-70% of your customers are women. It works well. So that's the community. Lastly, I want to just say community-wise, super awesome things happening. I was traveling 2 weeks ago and I got hit up with an ad on Facebook or maybe Instagram. And when I was just scrolling through and I saw something that said the number one clinic gym hybrid in this town I was in, right? The number one clinic gym hybrid in Oxnard. Oxnard's a town out in West LA. And I was just like, what? That's cool that seeing those words that I've been using for so long, like out there, and then people saying, oh, it's the number one clinic gym hybrid. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, it used to be really lonely talking about this. It was like me and a couple people. I knew every single person in the clinic gym space. I think, and even just the idea of like the rehab chiro world, man, seeing this super straight subluxation-based chiro group this weekend reminds me, like, I forget, not everybody believes in rehab and exercise, right? And not everybody wants to work towards a clinic gym. Not everybody wants to work towards that community. And so it really struck me. And one thing I was looking at that I thought was pretty cool is, you know, back in the day, the number of people that were interested in like rehab and exercise was super low. And I did just see that Justin Rabinowitz had a big conference with looked like at least 100 chiros there. Man, that's a crazy thought compared to like 5-10 years ago. Like, I don't know if there were 100 people that would have gone into that room, right? And the fact that it's now popular enough that he's getting them to meet in a live setting, super inspirational. I feel like back in the day it was me and like 10 people I knew. And I was looking at pictures from his event. Dude, there are people that just graduated. There are people like been in practice a long time and starting to get that kind of that population of people that are like a place they can feel safe, right? Which ironically, he's building a community. Holy Moses. Oh, that's crazy. But that was super cool to see. And I'm hoping that positively impacts our profession moving forward, is that community of people that believe in that type of care. I think they call it rehab chiro. But just like exercise being a treatment option that's like legit and discussed, certainly different than the people that are downstairs in this hotel, but certainly more of the way I believe. So that was super cool to see. There was a lot of people in the crowds or in the pictures I didn't recognize, which I'm like, dude, that means it's growing. Like the community of that type of chiro is growing, which is awesome. Love to hear it. So anyways, I just want to talk about the power of community and this idea. I think with the clinic gym hybrid, you can build great community. The gym definitely does that better than anything else. But on the flip side, it's funny that all these like additional, whatever you want to call them, these people selling these like e-stim products and lasers and stuff are talking about community, because I think what they're saying is they realize that's where humans really connect. And if you can build a tight-knit group of people, sales go through the roof. I think we're seeing that in gyms. I think that's like Justin's program. That's what, you know, it's going through the roof because of people feel like, hey, it's cool to be this way. And it's easy to sell and sell things to those people when there's that approach. I think using that to your advantage is the way of the future. It also means you're going to have like less resistance to selling more stuff. So if you have a gym and people feel like they're part of a community and you decide to sell supplements, you'll sell the hell out of those supplements, right? Anything that people want to buy, they typically will buy, especially if they feel like it's part of a community. You know, you look at the CrossFit crowd, how many people bought Rogue equipment to be part of that, or Rogue t-shirts to be part of that community, right? All these different companies, when they really have a community, sales become much easier. Anyways, with that, go out and build your community. And like I always say, go out there, maximize your license, and live the life you dream of. Thanks, everybody. Thanks a lot for listening to Clinic Gym Radio. If you're looking for more information about me, about us, about our programs, then just head to clinicgymhybrid.com. Again, that's clinicgymhybrid.com. You can check us out there. We've got our accelerator program and a few other programs that will help you get up and running as quickly as possible and making more money while providing excellent active therapy to your patients.